So I want to welcome everyone this evening. We are the Freestyle Living Today from Managing to Living podcast. This is our brand new launch. So I'm so happy that all of you are here. This is going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about all the different lanes that I'm in. And over the years, I was struggling. I'll just give a little bit of my backstory. And many of you know my story and have heard it 100 times. So I'll just give you just an overview of a backstory. And it looks, did we lose Andorra? We may have lost Andorra. I'll have to keep an eye out for her to come back on. I don't see her in the crowd now all of a sudden. So we'll have to see. I'll keep an eye on her in my attendees here. If another attendee pops up, I'll see if it's her. So anyway, a little bit of my backstory is that I was a single mom and struggled financially. And so over time, I was open to the idea of buying some real estate. And once I started purchasing real estate, I had some aha moments. And my big aha moment came in the salon industry, where I realized that I could buy the building that my salon was going to be in, since I was a salon owner, and I could rent out booth space. And so it was kind of the ultimate, what we like to know call in the industry is house hacking. It was kind of the ultimate, where my staff could actually buy me a building. They would pay the rent, and I would take the rent and turn it over to the mortgage company and pay the mortgage and taxes and insurance and utilities. And over a 20-year period, I ended up with a paid-for building. Well, when I realized how easy that was going to be, then the tough part was getting the first piece of real estate. As all of you know, if you're into real estate investing at all, one of the tough ones is actually getting into the real estate market, the down payment and how does it work, and it's, so it's just kind of nerve-wracking if you've never done it before. Now, if you've bought a house, you know a little bit about it, and you can buy that first investment property, and once you get that under your belt, things go a lot smoother once you kind of learn the ropes a little bit. So I did that, and it worked out pretty well. I saw, my mortgage coming down. I saw the value of the building going up. And I said, you know what? Maybe I could do this a second time. So I did. And then I did it actually a third and a fourth, and ended up actually in owning five commercial buildings by the time I was finished. I'm doing double duty here. I'm watching folks coming in as well. So if you see me, and if I miss you, put in the chat, say, I'm here. And I think we've lost Andorra. So anyway, what I want to do is I would like for some folks, while I do a little bit of housekeeping here in the background. Oh, there she is. There's Andorra. Okay, good. I wanted to make sure she was back on. So anyway, as far as the real estate, that's what was my aha, was realizing that I could create some passive income for myself. And then 20 years forward, I ended up with five paid for commercial buildings. And then I decided to start purchasing single family. And so now I'm up to like 30 doors. And again, that's small potatoes. For some of you, you're like, oh, 30 doors. But that's small potatoes in some of the circles I hang out in, because a lot of folks that I hang out with have 100 doors or 200 doors or 300 doors. Christy, you know what I'm talking about. You get into some of these meetups and you're like, holy moly, I can't even imagine having that many doors. And self-managing. But anyway, I had a freedom number in mind. And so I knew I had a certain income per month that I wanted to have as that cushion, as that base. And once I reached that, it really did give me the freedom to do things that I wanted to do and live the life that I wanted to live. And so I started branching out. Early on, all of my investment properties, it was all about the income. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, because what happened is I got so far down in the weeds worrying about the income, and oh, I had to get another investment property, and oh, but how was all of this going to fit together? And I was doing the financials, and I was still working full time in the salon industry with clients, and so I was kind of seeing myself coming and going, and so I didn't pay any attention to my health. I just was That was going to come later. I just needed to work, 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 and I would worry about my health later. And so it finally started to come to a head when I started having some issues. I was in the salon industry. I was working with clients, sometimes 10-hour days. And the doctor was talking about, well, maybe I needed wrist surgery, maybe I needed elbow surgery, maybe I needed shoulder surgery. And my weight was getting out of control because I wasn't eating right. And I was just working all these hours and not taking the breaks. And so, long story short, for those of you that know me, I'm kind of short. I'm only 5'3". And when I topped 200 pounds, I knew that I needed to do something serious. And so once I retired from the salon industry, I then made the switch that I had to really focus on my health. And so that's what I started doing, was really focusing on my health. And so now with my motto is to walk a 5K every day, and we're going to talk about some of this stuff, is to walk a 5K every day. And then I met Andora, and my goodness, she walks 10,000 steps, 20,000 steps. Sometimes I'm like, how is there enough hours in the day for the amount that she walks? And then Mindy, gosh, the other day, Mindy had all of her steps in by like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I hadn't even gotten out of my PJs yet. So yeah, there are some folks on this call that take their walking very seriously, and it is the easiest way to get in your exercise is to just do some walking. And so my motto is a 5K every day. The easy way to do that is if you walk 15 minutes after breakfast, 15 minutes after lunch, and 15 minutes after dinner, you've pretty much walked your 3 miles, your 5K, because you can do a 15, 20-minute walk pretty easy. That's a pretty good pace. And so just 15, 20 minutes after each meal, and you've done your 5K every day. So it really isn't hard. You just have to get it on the list. So anyway, that was my story. As I struggled early on, I finally got into the salon industry. My aha moment was buying my buildings that my salons were in. I ended up 20 years later having 5 paid-for commercial buildings. Then I got serious about my health, and now I'm journaling, I'm writing, I've authored 3 books, and I'm journaling every day because there's just so many advantages to journaling. Not only is it a stress relief, but it also gives you all kind of content. If you're a content builder, you can journal to get that content. And then finally, last but not least, is legacy. What kind of a legacy do you want to leave? And so for me, not only do I want to leave a financial legacy for Jennifer, my daughter, and my son-in-law and my grandchildren, but I also am leaving a legacy with the books. And I know Sherry is also an author. Let me see. Ruth is an author. I'm looking to see if we had any other authors here. And so there's all kinds of definition of legacy on what you want your legacy to be. So anyway, that's a little bit about me. I want Andora to tell us a little bit about her, and then we're going to talk about some health tips and some real estate tips and some journaling tips. So Andora, tell the group a little bit about you. I was kind of all over the map there because I was trying to watch people coming in into the audience as I was talking. So I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So anyway, Andora, over to you.
All right, thank you. Can everybody hear me okay? So
Yes.
we figure that the person who works in cybersecurity and IT couldn't log on. Isn't that Murphy's Law, right? So yes, my computer decided to like freeze up and made all this really crazy noise. So with that said, now I have to like take a deep breath here and like recompose myself. So my name is Andora Marshall, and I started getting into real estate like in 1988, 1989. And unfortunately, it was my mother had passed away and had left our grandmother's house in Athens to us, my sister, my brother, and myself. So I kind of got into real estate that way. And then, as you know, when you work with family, oh boy, it can be very different, right? So then I thought, you know what? Maybe I can just go off on my own and make my own decisions. I was like the youngest of three. So I bought a house in Carroll, Ohio, for those of you who are in around the Ohio area, very small town. And that was in 1990. I couldn't afford very much. I wanted to live in Columbus. So I bought this little $42,000 home. And of course, it was distressed and had to fix it up. So once I got that one under my belt and still had the rental in Athens, Ohio, I thought, you know what? I'm going to start buying rental properties because, at that time I wasn't married. And I'm like thinking, probably not going to get married. I ended up getting married. But at that time I thought, I got to come up with a plan B. My knight in shining armor, he's not coming. So my plan B was to start, figuring out how to make money. So then I started buying houses within Carroll, and they all happened to be within the same block. But also while I was working my corporate job, so I worked my corporate job at, you may know this as Columbia Gas, but it's now called NiSource. And so I have kind of 21 years there. And then also 17 and a half years at American Electric Power. And then, but I've still been buying like real estate on the side because I love real estate. So I've been kind of doing long-term rentals, but I always buy distressed properties. I don't want to buy, this is just me, I don't like to buy properties that are super expensive. I like to buy the ones that are in great location, right? Location, location, that are distressed properties that nobody wants. And then I'll go in there and then I'll fix them up on a shoestring budget. So that's kind of my thing. And now over the years, I've accumulated 15, which is not much. I have like a duplex, four single family homes, four commercial office spaces, and four residential condos. And I've done the short term, midterm, and long term. And we had a short term condo in St. Petersburg, Florida for 8 years. We absolutely loved it. But then the COVID came, right? And so we found that the people who rented our condo were the snowbirds. So we had to flex and adjust. We decided to sell that one. And then one of the decisions that we made is even though we loved St. Petersburg, Florida, and love going to the condo, I don't know if you guys feel like this, but when you own a property in a different state, you always feel like you have to go to that property because you're paying for it. So it's like we found that we, as much as we love to travel, that we were kind of forcing ourselves to continuously go there because we owned it. We're like, we're already paying the rent on this. We need to go there. So anyway, sold that one. But now we kind of keep our real estate around the Columbus, Ohio area. And so that's kind of what I do for my passive income. I've sold a house in Carroll, one of those. I had five originally and then sold one of those and did something called a DST. And we can, go into this later, but if you ever have real estate and you're not sure if you want to invest in another rental property, then something is called a Delaware statutory trust. So anybody on here who has real estate and you're like, you know what, I don't want to hassle with, they always say toilets and, plumbing issues and all that. But anyway, a DST is a great way to get passive income, and it's mailbox money because you are investing with a larger group of investors. So we do that. I've also invested like in mineral rights, just trying to do just different things to come up with this. And I really want to get into, and I know Tammy's on here, I really want to get into note buying or doing loans. That's truly the path. I just don't understand it. I'll be honest with you. My brain can only take so much. And it's like Tammy is like uber smart and she's very good with this. Yes, you are. Don't even be shaking that head, girl. You are. But Tammy is very good with that. So I'd like to learn how to do that because as you get older, you just, I don't know how you guys feel, but I want to put in less effort to make money. I want to work smarter, not harder. So, but again, and so I just recently retired. I'm all over the place here. Sorry. I just recently retired from AEP after 17 and a half years. And a headhunter had reached out to perhaps go work at Huntington. So now I'm at Huntington. Like, am I crazy at 60 to continue working? I don't know. You got to do something. So that's kind of where I'm at now, is just started a new job at 60. At Huntington. So here I am. And then Kathy said, hey, we should do this podcast where we kind of meet each month and we talk about what health issues, passive income, and all kinds of things. I'm like, okay, that sounds like a lot of fun. So here we are. That's a little bit about me. I know it was a rambling session, but I was trying to decompose, or I was still trying to get my thoughts together after my computer locking up. So.
Oh, You did really well. So thank you for that. Anyway, Andorra and I, we touch base oftentimes daily, not every single day, but sometimes we do, because we're kind of in the same place. We live close to each other, and our portfolios are very similar. Our diversification is very similar, and so we're always bouncing ideas off of each other. And that's what we want to do with this podcast, is make it a place where you can bring your questions and your concerns, and depending on where you are in your journey. But first thing that I want to talk about, and I know the real estate came first for me and for Andorra, because I don't know about you, but especially as a single mom, a lot of times the finances is the most important, because you got to eat, you got to have a roof over your head, and so you really kind of dig down into the financial situation and decide how are you going to create some of that passive income, and whether whether it's in real estate investing, or if you have an online business, or whatever it is, there's a million and one ways that you can create income, especially with the way the internet is these days. There's all kinds of ways to create income. But you have to have it. So oftentimes that becomes the first thing on our plate, is how are we going to, support ourselves. But then once you kind of get that cushion under you, that safety net, if you will, then you start thinking, oh, maybe I should start paying more attention to my health. Because as long as you have your health, that's what's going to take you on through those later years, is having the good health. So I want to kind of segue next into some of the health things. Now, again, my motto is walk a 5K every day, which is 3 miles, which is, for those of you that are walking an average somewhere between 2.7 and 3 miles an hour, that comes out to about 7,000 steps. And so that's very doable. I don't want you to think, oh, there's no way I could walk a 5K. Everyone can walk a 5K, especially if you break it down into three segments. Like I said, 15, 20 minutes at a time. You can do it at your desk. You can stand up. And I know Andor and I have both done this when it's been really bad weather out. We've just put on, I go to YouTube and I pull it up right on my computer, and I can walk my mile right in front of my computer in place, and if you're in a private office, nobody's going to pay any attention to you. If you work from home, that's even better. I also have an under the desk treadmill. I bought it from Amazon, and I can listen to a podcast and walk while I'm listening to a podcast. That works as well, to get your mile in. And again, you only need to do 1 mile 3 times a day. It doesn't have to be all together. Now, it's kind of fun to do it all together. I love to go hiking. We're close to Hocking Hills where I live, so I love to hike in the hills. Also, in bad weather, I've been known to do mall walking, and that's fun. Just a couple of weekends ago, I went into Columbus all the way up to Polaris, and I walked my 3 miles inside Polaris on their second level. There's not as many people on the second level as there are on the first level up there. And I just, and again, I've got it down to a science. I can go around 5 times, and that's my 3 miles at Polaris. I have it all mapped out. But it's real easy to do that. And even then, if you do all 3 miles at the same time, we're talking maybe 45 minutes, less than an hour. Even if you're a slow walker, you can do your 3 miles inside an hour. And so, Andora, speak to that. What is some of your go-to, and is there anyone else that's on the call that has some tips or tricks on getting their exercise in? Andora, how about you? What is it that you're doing on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, I'm doing walking. And some, like right now in Columbus, Ohio, as we know, it is severely cold. And it's like, you don't want to get out there on those sidewalks because many people haven't even shoveled the snow. This is going to sound silly, but sometimes what I'll do is I will even like march. If you're watching TV and you're like watching a show, I'll turn that on sometimes. And it sounds crazy, but you like march in place and try to get those, your knees up as high as you can. I mean, you'd be amazed. And then sometimes I don't want to look crazy here, but I'll put my arms kind of up to get that arm activity going on, especially if I have to walk in place in front of the TV. And you'd be amazed how many steps you can get in doing that. Or if you're on a, I don't know if you are on a telephone call with one of your friends, just start walking around your house and you'll be amazed at how many steps that you get just doing that. And then if you are in a subdivision or something, and that you're, I'm kind of in a subdivision where I'm close to Kroger's, and I'll think, if, you know, today I wouldn't walk to Kroger's, but I'm just saying on a nice warm day, I try to walk as much as I can. So if I need to go to Kroger's and I know I'm going to get a few items, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to walk. If you're, when you're in an office anywhere, if there's any types of steps or stairwells, walk those stairwells. I'm telling you, it's good for the booty for sure. And it's also great for the legs. And if you have, like, let's say you have a set of steps that are, you know, you're on, there's 10 floors at your office. This is the best tip ever. Walk up the steps, walk to the other side, because typically you're going to have those two fire exits. Walk to the other side, walk up the steps, because it kind of gives you that break in between the steps. But yeah, just definitely walking from one end of the building to the next. I always do that wherever I work at. When I worked at AEP, there were 31 sets of steps. Oh. So just at lunchtime, sometimes I would do that. And mm-hmm. you could get that done pretty much in a good 35-minute, 40-minute time frame. So I do that. And I would say, like I said, walking in place, the walking pad. You can get a walking pad. Did you know, like, for under some of them on Amazon for under $150? And, mm-hmm. you know, just make sure that when you don't put your speed up so high that you end up falling off of it. But, you know, definitely that's a great way. Kathy, you've mentioned this one, books on audio. You said sometimes that you will put your books on audio and go out walking. The only thing yes. with that is just maybe put one ear thing in, because you got to pay attention to what's going around for safety reasons. So I'll do, you know, I got to learn to love the books on tape. I don't know why, but I got to learn to love that. Yeah, I just love that book.
I do love that. Yeah. And I actually have some headphones that have bone induction, which means the headphones sit here in mm-hmm. front of my ears. And so I can hear everything that's going on and I can hear the speakers. And I actually got Mark a set of those at Christmas time. Anyway, they're amazing. And I got those off of Amazon as well. So, yeah. So I use those a lot. I'm close enough here where I can walk through the park. We've got a brand new park here in Canal Winchester, and I can actually hike through the park on the park trails.
I think that makes it nice. And you know, what you can do is in Google, go out there and put wherever you live at, put metropolitan parks, and make it a fun challenge. It's free, right? Parks are free especially on the weekends. If you have how many people on here are working a full-time job? Like 40 hours a week. Okay. Tammy, I see your hand down. I'm envious. And I'm Kathy. I see, but everybody's still doing something. But my whole point is that, you know, on the weekends, make it a family thing. I mean, what a great way to create memories with your family or your significant other is, you know, there's some wonderful parks here in the Columbus, Ohio area. One of my favorites in Carroll, Ohio is Chestnut Ridge. Mm-hmm. How many people in here are from Ohio or live around the area? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So Chestnut Ridge is a great one. I mean, it's 2 miles and you can make it, if you do like a figure eight, you can make it 3 miles. But you know, some of these parks are just amazing. And in Hocking Hills, if you want to really up your walking, take some walking poles with you. That's supposed to help with your arm activity. But as we age, it is so important to do light weights. Another tip is to get yourself a set of 3 pound weights and a set of 5 pound weights, and try to use those every other day. There's all kinds of phenomenal arm exercise routines, actually on YouTube, Pinterest. I mean, all of those apps will have something that are just free. Another thing that I've been talking my husband Tom into doing is doing planks for a minute. And you would be, how many people have ever did a plank before?
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Isn't it hard?
It's very hard.
So what I do is I get my cell phone out. I go to the timer and we'll set it for 60 seconds actually. And, you know, to do a true plank. And if you can't do the correct form immediately, that's okay. Just even do the plank on your knees or something. Just use your knees and do that plank that way. And then you graduate up to that. But I'm telling you what, those last like 20 seconds, I'm like, oh my gosh. So I try to do that.
Well, here's what I want to instill in everyone. And Dora, I know you're going to attest to this. The way you treat yourself now is how you're going to feel 10 years from now. So definitely get in shape now, get that core strengthened, do those planks, do your walking, do whatever it takes to stay as healthy as you can, because you will pay for it 10 years from now. Whatever you do or not do now is going to catch up to you.
And it's really just the small things. I'm really going to date myself. I remember years ago, do you remember Victoria Principle when she came out with a beauty book? Oh my gosh. And I remember getting that or renting a book from the library, borrowing it. And I remember that she would do these things, like when she would be standing in line, she would squeeze her butt cheeks. I mean, but seriously, those are all things that she would like contract her stomach muscles. And then I don't know, most of us grew up during the Jane Fonda era. Remember when we didn't know, like we would go to exercise classes and we'd have the unitard on and the whole cute outfit. And then, like I said, all these exercise videos come out. If you figure out what your jam is and do that, if you like walking, make walking your exercise. But whatever you do, try to incorporate some light weights into your routine and do it every other day. And you'll be surprised, how quickly you build up your strength. Because what I've noticed as I'm getting older, like the gallon of milk, those types of things that you kind of take for granted when you're younger, you're like, oh, this is a little heavier. Or, if I always like go to Sam's Club. And of course, I buy all the industrial size things, even though it's just my husband and I. And when you start, picking up that huge case of water, you're going to notice, that your strength as we get older start declining a little bit. And it's just the little things. But another tip too is if you can do squats, that's a great exercise for your whole core as well. But even like I said, some of the things, I'm going to go back to the Victoria Principle things, just the little things, like when you're driving in your car and like squeeze and contract your stomach muscles and like see if you can hold or contract your stomach muscles for a certain period of time, like a minute or something. And again, when you are someplace where you're in line. I mean, I know it might look bad, but if you're in line at the UPS store or the post office, march in place or something, or even like kind of back and forth. I mean, people will look at you, but do you really care? I mean, who cares, right? So it's just getting those little movements in and making the most of every day, because every day your body needs to move. And do you ever notice that the more that you lay down, like if you're not feeling well, has anyone ever been sick and like you've been laying down for a long time and then you go to get up and you're like, oh my gosh, like everything feels like the Tin Man, like you've frozen up and you're like, okay, this is not working the way I want it to. So
a body in motion stays in motion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are made for motion. I agree.
Yes.
So,
so anyway, I want to segue just a hint and I want to talk briefly about fasting, because that's how I lost my weight. I started out not really understanding ketosis. I thought I understood ketosis. I thought I understood, you have to eat less calories than your body consumes. And so as long as I, counted calories, why wasn't I losing weight? And I was diligent in counting calories and the weight was still not coming off. And so finally, I did a deep dive. And one of my other co-mods in one of my other groups, and many of you on this call know Kyle, he was kind of like, well, yeah, doesn't everybody understand fasting? Well, no, I had to be this old to figure it out. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. And so what I learned was when we first eat, your insulin kicks in. And that lasts for a couple, 3 hours. And then after that, your hormones kick in. And then after that, ketosis kicks in. Well, many times we're eating again. We don't wait long enough for ketosis to kick in. Ketosis is where your body will actually burn the fat for your energy instead of your food. But you have to not have any food in your system for your body to do that. So most of us, we'll have breakfast and then 3 or 4 hours later, we have lunch. And then 3 or 4 hours later, we have dinner. And then 3 or 4 hours later, we're eating a snack before we go to bed. And we're constantly just in that insulin, maybe a hint into the hormone stage. And then we throw ourselves right back into the insulin. We never allow our bodies to get into ketosis. And so do a deep dive about fasting, because if you can go long enough to get through the insulin stage, through the hormone stage, and into the ketosis stage, you will start losing weight. If weight has been a struggle for you, that's the point you need to get to. So you have to fast long enough to get there. And then after that stage comes the autophagy stage. And the autophagy stage is where your good cells actually consume your bad cells, and that's where your body starts healing itself from cancer cells. And that sort of thing. So you have to allow yourself to get all the way through those four stages to get into autophagy. And so if you look at the fasting charts, everyone that can fast for 18 hours and have a 6 hour eating window, if you can do that, you're going to move over all the way through the ketosis stage and start losing weight. If you can do the 18-6. And that's how it's usually listed. It's an 18:6, which means you're not eating for 18, you are eating in a 6 hour window. Now, that may sound not doable to many of you, but it really is not that hard, because if you start fasting, say at 6 o'clock in the evening, if you say, I'm not going to eat after six, I'm going to have dinner around 5 o'clock, and I'm not going to eat after six, well, you can go till noon the next day. Pretty easy. You can have black coffee, you can have tea. As soon as you put something in it, you've broken your fast. So it has to be black or plain or water. And as long as you go until about noon the next day and make noon to six your eating window, you're doing an 18-6 very easy. And if that's not doable, if you say, oh, I don't think I can go all the way till noon, well, maybe make it 11 to six and just lengthen that eating window a little bit. But don't get up at 7 in the morning and have a bagel, because you've broken your fast. Or even having your coffee with cream in it, you have broken your fast. And Sherry says new research is to eat breakfast and lunch and stop eating by 2 p.m. and it's a better fat burn. Yes. I'm not sure my lifestyle, that would be difficult, because we still do some dinners out with friends. We're still involved in a ballroom dance club, and they do, dinner dances, and it's just really difficult for me to stop eating by two. Now, I could do that a few days a week. I don't know that I could do that every day. But again, it's not what you do occasionally, it's what you do consistently is what makes a difference. So even if you could fast 5 out of 7 days, or if you could fast, even 4 out of 7 days, the more you can do that, the better your health will be. But do your research, find what works for you, but make sure that you can get through that fasting stage, and keep your eating window kind of all together so that you have a longer fasting period. So anyway, that do some research. There's tons of information out there about it. Definitely check it out. But if you're struggling to lose the weight, that is going to be a huge, huge tip for you to get into ketosis. And Dora, any comments on that?
So I wish that I would love fasting, but this girl loves to eat. So I am a big proponent of protein. So I get grumpy if I don't eat. I wish that I could do fasting. I am a big proponent of a breakfast. I like to do like the egg bites from Sam's Club or eggs or a boiled egg. And what I'm trying to do, because I just love to eat. That's just all there is. I'm never going to be 120 pounds, 130. I'm just not built that way. But I like to eat high protein. I like to eat vegetables. I'll try to find, and I have a sweet tooth. So what I'm trying to do is, try to eat more fruits. One thing I have found that I'm really enjoying is I like to get a really good apple. And does anyone ever have one of those apple core things, that little gadget? Oh my gosh, is that like not the best? And then you don't have the the skin of the apple and stuff in your teeth and all that. I like to have that little apple core thing that I just kind of go and it's a great snack. Another thing that I absolutely love is those little mini cucumbers and then hummus. Have you guys had that? Oh my God, it is so good. And then there's something like this little spice at Sam's Club. It's called Everything Bagel. I'll sprinkle that over the cucumbers, and over my hummus, just regular plain. It's just so good. So I like to eat.
I'm going to have to get some of that. I haven't purchased that.
It is so good.
It's called Everything Bagel, but it's a spice.
It's a spice and it has like sesame seeds in it. And it's just so flavorful. So I'm all about, like, when I eat, I want to eat good food. And like I said, I had this sweet tooth, so I try to choose things. Another thing that I absolutely love, 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 it's called Premier Protein peanut butter chocolate. Oh my God. You feel like you're eating a Reese's candy bar. It is so, have you tried it, Christy?
Oh, when I had my weight loss surgery 4 years ago, mm-hmm. I lived on that.
Oh my God. It's so,
the month before I had the surgery to about 6 months afterward, mm-hmm. I made ice cream with it. The best flavors. Yes, it's wonderful.
It is. So that's one of my favorite. And there's another one called cookie dough. And there's a couple things you can do with it. Like if you want it to, because I, like I said, I like to eat and I want to feel full. So what I'll do sometimes, I have a Vitamix. So I'll dump my chocolate peanut butter Premier Protein. It's just this little container and it's great. If you're on the go, you can just throw it in your purse. And then what I'll do is I'll put it in my Vitamix sometimes if I want that extra, and I'll put ice cubes in it to like kind of thicken it up. Another person told me that what they like to do is that they like to put it in the freezer. And then they will take a knife and kind of cut it out and put it in a bowl and eat it like ice cream.
Yep.
I haven't done that. So like I said, I love that Premier protein shake. But what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to be better about eating smaller meals. And I'm trying to be better about really eating that protein, because I've noticed as we age, if we don't, we need about 90 grams or more, from my understanding, of protein as a female. So I try to just eat as much as I can. I know they used to say eggs weren't good, but if you boil eggs and you can do all kinds of creative things with eggs. Like sometimes I'll even do some scrambled eggs, and I'll put like a little bit of cheese, maybe some spinach, maybe a little bit of ham, and I'll put them in those little muffin pans. Anyone ever done mm-hmm. make your own egg bites?
Yep.
And then what you can do is you can even refrigerate some of those. So like you don't want to make, and you can probably freeze them. I mean, I've tried the freezing. They're not so great when I've frozen them. So I try to do things like that, but I try to pick snacks because I do like to snack. I try to pick things like the cucumbers or those baby carrots. Anyone ever try the baby carrot hummus?
Fabulous.
Love that. So those are the types of things that I try to do is just, but like I said, I wish I was like Kathy and could fast, but I cannot. You know,
well, for me, I knew that I had to get the weight off. I was over 200. I weighed in this morning at 133 and at 5'3", the doctor says that's perfect for me. He wants me to between 130 and 135. And I came in right in the middle at 133 this morning. And so I'm pretty happy with that. It was not without a ton of effort on my part and learning how to fast and how to get that under control. And so for me, I decided that the best dessert for me is I buy frozen fruit, frozen berries, mm-hmm. and I got a little bullet blender for Christmas, and I put it in there and blend up the frozen fruit with just a little bit of water and make it into a smoothie, and it's very low calorie, and put some real cream, whipped cream on the top, just a dollop of that. And it makes a nice little dessert, and it's like 50 calories. And so
you could also add Greek yogurt.
That's what you're going to say, Greek honey yogurt.
That not the and thing. Then that adds additional protein.
Yes. I've seen that. And again, I'm trying to keep the calories way down, which is why I haven't done that. But but yes, I could do that as well. So I it's just a matter of deciding what's important in your world and you know, just how much dedication you're going to have to getting your weight under control and getting your health under control. But again, how we treat ourselves now is going to determine how we feel 10 years from now. So definitely get it on the list. Don't think I'm going to do that later. Put something on the list today. It doesn't have to be major, but get get your help on the list. Now, I want to segue over to real estate for just a moment. For those that are looking for passive income, there is a ton of ways that you can have passive income with real estate. And I'll share with you one of my easiest and best hacks. My house has four bedrooms, and I told Mark when I retired from the salon industry that I wanted to put one of the bedrooms out on Airbnb just to see, if I'd like it, if it would be okay to have somebody staying in the house with us, And he was like, "Okay, well, we can try it." He wasn't totally sold on it, and so I got one room ready. I got it listed. We had our first guest. Anyway, it was fine, and I wasn't sure how I would feel about it, but it worked out really well. Mark is very handy when it comes to doing projects around the house. So I said the only thing that I really needed was I wanted a door to kind of separate the owner's area from where the guests were. So he added that door for us, and it's been 10 years. I've been, I finally turned three of our bedrooms into guest rooms. We are the Caraway Guest House, and I'm on probably 25 different booking sites now. I can be as full as I want. And this was the easiest, fastest way for me to generate income without having to purchase additional real estate. Is just it's the old fashioned. When I went to the city to get my permission, my permit, if you will. They said, "We don't have anything for a bed and breakfast or a guest house." And they said, "The only thing that's in the Ohio Revised Code is a boarding house." And I don't know if you remember your parents or grandparents talking about boarding houses, but
Yes.
they basically just rented out by the room. And but it was the house that they lived in as well. And so I came under the boarding house rules as far as the Ohio Revised Code. And then the city of Canal Winchester gave me my occupancy certificate to actually have a guest house slash bed and breakfast. Anyway, it has been a wonderful opportunity for me. And it's one of those things where I finally, after just a month or two, realized I had to have what was called a channel manager, which is basically a software program that I connect these online channels to my software. And that way I can sit down in front of just one program. And if I block a room, it blocks it on all the channels. If I open up a room, it opens it up on all the channels. And I don't have to chase all those different channels. Like if somebody books on Airbnb, do I have to go out and block all these other channels? My channel manager does that for me. And it runs like $150 a month for the channel manager. So it's well worth it. It's better than having an employee because it does all of that work for me. So now I use that channel manager like a faucet for dollars. If I need money, I open up the rooms. If I want to travel, I close the rooms. If I want to have time to write and I don't want to do laundry on a particular weekend, I can close the rooms. If I need cash for something, like I found something else, another piece of real estate I want to buy, and I now need to really put away some cash for a down payment, I can open up the faucet. I can open up those rooms. And all of a sudden, the money starts coming in. And so I rent the rooms for $100 a night. It's $99 plus tax a night per room. And so if I fill all three rooms, that's $300. If I fill all three rooms for two nights, that's $600. If I fill all three rooms for three nights, that's $900. That's $1,000. And all I had to do was a little bit of laundry and run the sweeper. And so anyway, it's just a perfect opportunity to get into real estate investing without purchasing a separate property. And so for many of you, look around and see, is there a way, do you have a property, or is there a way that you could simply open up a room or two, even if you had to do a little bit, like add a door here or make an outside door entrance that maybe you didn't have already. Sometimes it doesn't take that much to change something about your property that would make it easy for you to create additional income. And it has worked beautifully for me. So that's kind of my tip of the day on getting into the real estate industry. If not that, then I recommend doing what I did. It's where I had a business anyway, and I simply decided I was going to own my space instead of renting space. So if any of you are running any kind of a business where you are renting space to run your business, consider owning your space instead of renting space. Instead of buying somebody else a building, buy yourself a building, if in fact that's what you're doing. And I look at a lot of these hairstylists, especially because I was in the salon industry, and they're like, oh, I don't want the responsibility of, owning the building. But they have the responsibility anyway. If there's a water leak, then they have to decide how their girls are going to keep working, until the building gets repaired. And they're going to be more interested in getting the building fixed and back to functioning correctly than maybe the owner of the building is. And so they still carry that, what I call the mental load of running that business and keeping that building running. And if you've got a handyman in your back pocket, and for those of you that are in the industry, you realize that there are guys and gals everywhere that you can get to do things for you. And so it's just not that hard to keep a building running. There's roof guys, I've got plumbing guys, I've got electrical guys, I've got just handymen. I've got all kinds of a list of folks in Central Ohio that if something should happen, I don't even stress about it anymore because I have enough people to call. And Dora, what is your thoughts on that?
I think that's a great thing too. That's kind of how I bought the commercial offices downtown. I bought it was kind of a unique situation. So it's a condo, if you will, that had four separate rooms. So when I bought the and they were it was deemed commercial. So when I bought it, I thought, you know what? It was normally a it was a psychologist. Three psychologists were using this office space to see their clients. So when I bought it, it was during the pandemic, and everyone said, "Oh, we'll never need offices again." And I'd think, I thought this is, what they always say when you see these opportunities. So I bought a commercial office downtown Columbus for $55,000, which was only $3,000 more than when the person before me bought it in 1976, because they didn't see the value of ever having office space. Well, that an attorney is always going to probably need an office space. Nail technicians, massage therapists, hairdressers, nail technicians. There are some industries where they will always need a space. So I bought the space for 55,000, fix it up, and each month, like I rent out one space or two of them for 650 each. One for 500 and 550. Paid cash for this particular condo, and so far it's doing well. So I, like I said, I really, I think that you just have to figure out if real estate is something that you want to do, and there's so many things that you can do in real estate. I know we've got Mindy on here, and Mindy has decided to serve people who have short-term and mid-term rentals. So she's selected to offer cleaning services. That's a great way to make money, and oftentimes people will give her cash rather than writing a check. But she can make as much as $50 an hour, Mindy, I believe, is what you sometimes can make, depending on whose house it is and how much there is to do of that. So I know that that's like one aspect. If you want to be a wholesaler, so that's something that you could. What a wholesaler is maybe somebody that has a house that they don't want to put on the MLS listing. Maybe they're embarrassed of the condition of the home. And maybe you can work with them to say, let me help you sell your house. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different, there's wholesaling. You have to have more knowledge in how to wholesale a house, but there's just so many different aspects of real estate that you can provide a service and make money on. You could be a co-host. I know, like with Kathy, if Kathy ever says, you know what, I'm going to move to New York City, which may not be too far from the truth, but it could happen. And
I am still looking. I am still looking for a flat in New York City.
then, oh, good for you.
so she could come to somebody and say, you know what, I need a co-host. And there's like a book, like on Amazon, from Stacy St. John that talks about co-hosting. And what that is that you don't handle the money, but you handle the reservation. You make sure that you're handling the cleaner that comes to, to do that. You can clean the house yourself and then make money as a co-host and the cleaner. and that you're helping Kathy. What she said, she's got the 3 bedrooms, so each time a guest stays, she may or may not have to be there to greet them, make sure that they have the code to get in, make sure that they have the access to the bathroom and the shower, and does it have towels and toilet paper, and is the there are new linens on the bed, I'm guessing. So if she would want someone to co-host where she takes off and lives in New York City, that's a way that you could make money. And then the notes, like Tammy's lending out her hard-earned money to people who would like to. And I don't know, Tammy, can you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. We actually started with rentals and decided we don't like, my husband and I, we don't really like landlording. So we decided we'd rather lend our money or to other investors. So we're private money lenders, and we actually then started a hard money company with a couple of other friends. So now we do even more lending since we have partners to lend money with. So we
So,
lend it out. We also sell partial notes so that we can get investors into our company to have even more money to lend.
and you might want to put your number and contact information in the chat, because maybe somebody on this call wants to get into real estate. And I know that you have certain requirements on lending requirements, but again, that's an advertisement of your business, where you can let people know in the chat how to get a hold of you if they're thinking about buying some property. So that's always an avenue, right?
Yes. And one thing that I want to say is that there is a million and one ways to make money in real estate. So don't think, oh, I could never do the real estate app for the passive income because I don't know anything about real estate. You could be the cleaning company, you could be the handyman, you could be the investor with the notes. You could be the landlord and own the property and rent it out to single families, or like Andorra, you could have office space, or like me, you could have short term where you're doing vacation housing out of your own home. There's just a million and one ways that you can make income in the real estate industry. So don't write that off as something that you can't do. And here's what I'm here to tell you. Everyone needs a place to live, and I don't see traveling slowing down anytime soon. And so, wherever you want to plug into the real estate industry, there are tons of opportunities. And so, I know we're coming up on the hour, and so I don't want to run too much over. But I am going to put in the chat for everyone. You can contact me at kathybenner.com. I can get you in touch with Andorra. I can get you in touch with Mindy, with Tammy, with anyone. Sue does. She's got rentals. Not only single family, but also she's renting by the room. So there's all kinds. Oh, and Elizabeth has lots of real estate. So anyway, and Christy, I'm not sure about you. Do you have properties yet?
I have two, my
Okay,
primary
two.
residence, and then my grandmother's house.
Okay. So again, don't overlook the real estate as as something that you think you can't do, because you can. And it's a great buffer. It's a great cornerstone for your finances. No matter what happens down the road on your job or the industry or what even happens to the economy, everyone needs a place to live. And there's always going to be businesses looking for space, and there's always going to be folks traveling. And then you need all the services that supply those industries. And so that's why the trades are so important. And so anyway, don't overlook that. I want to finish off by talking a little bit about journaling. I don't know about you, but I did not journal for years. I just didn't have the time. I was working in the salon industry. I worked for 25 years like my hair was on fire because I had a client every hour on the hour, 6 days a week. And when I finally was off, I was just exhausted. So I'm now at a place where I don't function like that on a day-to-day basis. And so now I'm taking some really good inventory about You know, where do I want to go next? What do I want my life to look like? What do I want my legacy to look like? Where do I want to put my efforts? And journaling is the best way to do that, because a lot of times until I get it out on paper and can see it or can talk it out, it's always running around in my head, and I don't quite get it systematized, if you will. So journaling has been really good for me. And so I encourage everyone on the call to start journaling, even if it's just 10 minutes a day. You know, put down your thoughts, put down your goals, put down where you're headed, write down what you don't want anymore. And that was my first time journaling, is I was really struggling with what I wanted to do when I was leaving the salon industry, and I didn't know what I wanted to do next. And so I had a coach at the time, and my coach had me write down everything that I was doing in my life. I was doing nails. I liked biking and hiking. I liked dancing. I liked traveling. I just wrote down everything. He says, now, once you make that big, 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 big long list, he said, I want you to go back, and he said, I want you to mark out what you don't want to continue doing. And he said, and you'll know what it is. Mark out what you don't want to continue doing. Because I found myself doing things that I just really didn't want to continue doing, but I was continuing doing them. And one of those things is I was trying to do, and this is where someone like Mindy comes in. I was trying to do all of my cleaning of my office buildings and the guest house. And I was trying to do all my own cleaning because I hadn't made the decision that I was better to pay someone to do that. I kept thinking, I can do that. I don't need to spend the money to do that. But when I finally looked at my list, I thought, you know what? That's the one thing that I really don't enjoy. And really, in my life, on my deathbed, am I going to tell somebody that I wish I would have cleaned more?
Probably.
Am I really going to do that? Probably not.
No,
So
I
it
hope not.
Yeah, so it really made the point to me, like, okay, I just need to hand that off to someone else. I was cleaning the salons, I was cleaning the guest house, I was cleaning my house. I just was spending my days cleaning, and I thought, I don't want to do that anymore. And so Sherry, thank you so much. Sherry came to my guest house one time, my house, and she even said, "How's your house so clean?" And I said, "I pay somebody to do that." And so anyway, so make your list, and it you don't know until you can journal about it and get it out of your head and onto paper. So, Andora, what are your thoughts on that?
I think journaling is great now. So I always think of journaling as back in the day when people would write in their diary, right? And that kind of like where now we,
Catalog.
yes, and we would write all kinds of things in our diary. And I just remember having a diary when I was younger, and then I think my mom read it, and so then I felt traumatized. So I need to get back into that.
Yes.
I need to get back into journaling, because I think that and it would be awesome as if you even did like a little bit of a session maybe on how to journal. I mean, you gave some great ideas, but I would love to hear how you do that and what you do in that regards. I know you said write everything down that you're doing today, and then kind of go back and scratch out what you don't want to do. I would like to learn more about that, but I think that it does provide clarity, and you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you could probably digitize, or you could probably don't even have to write it down, but I think, do you write yours down or do you type it up?
Well, it's better than that. For those of you that are on the call, and I know Sherry's going to get this. I'm looking, Sally and Ruth might have been on the call. I'm looking to see who else has been on the call before. But I love to use chat. And because on your chat GPT, you can actually talk. You can hit the little microphone and you can talk. And so I'll say, hey, chat, turn this into a journal entry. And then I just close my eyes and just talk about what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking or what I'm pondering or what I'm trying to sort out or what I'm trying to figure out. And then chat just puts that into a journal entry for me. And then I can copy and paste that over into a document or over into if I'm doing an electronic journal. Right now, I like Trello. And so I can make a Trello card for each day's entry. And that works really well for me. So Trello is just an online way to kind of organize your thoughts. And in my writing, I use Trello to write my chapters for my books. And so that's why I just because I'm already using Trello, I didn't want to introduce something new into my world of applications that I'm using. So I just use Trello, which is the same one I'm using already, for my journal.
I need to do that. I think that's a great, and you can buy all these cool looking journal covers if you choose to handwrite it off of Amazon. I have friends that do a lot of journaling. They buy these really cool looking things, you know, these books that they can write on or write in.
And for those of you that are looking for passive income, you can create a blank journal. You can put it on Amazon and you can sell it and make money on a blank journal. All it is a great cover with pages of lines, and you can create your own journal and you can have some inspirational quotes throughout if you want, or however you want to lay it out. So you can create your own journal.
How do you do that?
Etsy lets you sell things too. I haven't done Etsy, but I know that some people who are very creative, they will put things together on Etsy, ETSY, and then put it out there. So
Yes.
wow.
Well, this has been really great. Next month, we're going to be back the fourth Wednesday of every month at 6:30. And next month, we're going to talk about energy and attention, what you give your energy and attention to. And so think about that. And again, all of my energy and attention went to that salon industry for 25 years. And so when I finally decided to retire from that, boy, oh boy, did I have a void. I wasn't sure what I was going to do next. And that's where the journaling came in. That's where the real estate came in. That's where the passive income came in. And that's where I could create the lifestyle that I wanted to live. But it has to be intentional. If you don't write down where you're headed, or at least what you don't want to continue doing, you're going to end up getting the same thing. You're going to end up doing the same thing over and over and over. The only way to make the change is to be intentional about it.
I agree. And it looks like the next date is February 25th. So for those of you who love details, I love details. So February 25th is our next meeting at 6:30 p.m. We didn't get to talk about our red light mask therapy.
Let's talk about that for a second. For those of you that are interested, if you have to go, we understand. We don't want to hold you up if you've got other commitments. I know Marty had to jump off. She had another call. But one of the things Andorra and I are doing, Andorra turned me on to this. And so I got one at Christmas as my Christmas gift, and I'm using it every day since Christmas. And so, Andorra, tell us a little bit about the red light mask.
I really like this red light mask therapy. It's supposed to help rejuvenate collagen in your skin. I don't know if you guys can see it. I bought one off of Sam's Club. It was like $199 around the Black Friday special. But literally, it's like this cool thing. Literally, it's for 10 minutes. Like, who can't sit? You can sit still. You can even read while you're doing this. But you like literally, I'll put it on. It's like this. I know when I put this on, my husband was like, "What?" He thought I was kidding around. But you put this little mask on, and then you hit this little button, and for 10 minutes, it's supposed to help the collagen in your skin. It's called red light therapy, and it's supposed to make your skin, you know, just look healthier, glow, and so forth. And another one that I bought because it was on sale at the Black Friday special. Who doesn't like a Black Friday special? Is the one for the neck, like my. I feel like my neck and looks like I'm 80 years old. So this one you put around your neck like this. You kind of
For
put it
those
up.
of us that have lost weight, this is so important that we rejuvenate the collagen in the deeper layers, because we end up having a lot. It doesn't really tighten the skin, but it rejuvenates the collagen, which the collagen then tightens up the skin.
You just kind of put this on a lay on your chest. So, like, I don't know why I did this, but who all laid in the tanning bed back in the 80s? And yeah, and then who laid like one of those foil blankets with baby oil? Anyone?
And
Oh,
I
yeah.
have done.
Yep. This is, I hear you, sister. So,
I
yeah.
just found out I have cataracts.
It's like, but anyway, so this kind of helps lighten those freckles and kind of any type of skin. A little bit. I've noticed that a little bit. I'm trying to work on. I want to get the one for my hands because my hands look like, again, like I'm 80, and so I want to get that. But yeah, it just helps lighten any of imperfections on the skin, makes the skin brighter. And I don't know. I've had some people say your skin looks better, and who knows? Maybe they're just saying that. Maybe it's a coincidence.
No, I could tell. I could tell a difference. I see Andorra almost every Thursday. We have an in-person coffee chat on Thursdays, and I was like, Andorra, I don't know what you're doing, but your skin is looking really good. So when she told me, I at Christmas time, I put that on my Christmas list. I did get the mask on for my Christmas present, and I've used it every day since Christmas. So it's been a good 4 weeks now, and I am seeing a difference in my skin. I am seeing a difference. And then I got this. This is off of Amazon, and it's just a little tiny. I don't know if it'll. It's a little. I don't know if you can see the red light. And when you press on it, it vibrates as well. And you can use this
I so need that. I mean,
on your neck, or on your hands, or on your face. And so I bought this to travel with, because I travel. For those of you that know me, I travel in a backpack. I don't. Like a book bag backpack that a kid would carry to school. I don't travel in a suitcase. And so the problem with that is I don't have a lot of room to carry a bunch of stuff. And so I bought that to travel with so I could just throw it in my backpack and take, and it's battery. You plugs in like your cell phone to recharge, and I can just throw that in my backpack.
And I wish I could travel like Kathy, but like for those of you who know me, I usually carry a purse that's like 50 pounds. Everything in that. Like if you ever see me out and you need something, I have aspirin, I have safety pins, I have it all in there. And Kathy can attest to that heavy purse as well as Tammy. Tammy's like, "How? What do you have in there?" I'm like, "Every. Do I not have everything? Hand it. Tape measure. I mean, I've got it all in there. Let me tell you. But I wish I could pack like you, Kathy, and just be light and just go with it, you know? But."
Yep, I travel with just a little book bag backpack indefinitely. We backpacked across London and Paris 2 years ago now, and we did 70 miles with just our backpacks on across London, and then we went under the water and the underwater train tube over to Paris, and then we walked all around Paris and then came back to London to fly home.
So you're going to have to give a session
Wow.
time on how you efficiently pack in a backpack because I would love to know that. And I'm sure it's like probably having two or three pairs of pants, and I bet they're black, and then I bet that interchangeable shirts or something, you know, something. I bet that. And you had some great ideas. I know we've talked about it before. Like you were telling me, you know, how you can wash things out, and you know, I don't know.
Again, off of Amazon and go to kathybenner.com. I have a resource page. There's a ton of stuff on the resource page. So check it out at kathybenner.com. You can chat with me. I can connect you with Andorra or Mindy or anyone else on the group that you want to connect with. So get in touch with me, kathybenner.com. You can have a coffee chat with me. You can email me. Everything is there. Everything's on that site. But there's also the resource link if you want to go to the resources to see the face mask and the different lotions that Andor and I are using, that sort of thing. And I'll be adding more and more to that resource list as these calls unfold and we share more of our tips and tricks.
Hey,
So,
I just thought of one last thing, and then I'll go for food because I'm all about the food. Has anyone did the little already pre-made salads in the bags, like from Kroger's and Sam's Club, where you can get those? Okay, yeah, those are awesome. Just saying. But anyway, okay. Sorry, I was thinking about food because I'm hungry.
no, nope, I get it. I get it. I want to say thanks to everybody for being on today. Several folks have had to jump off. I get that. This is recorded, so you'll be able to find the recording on the YouTube channel, Freestyle Living with Kathy Benner, and you'll be able to find the recording there. And again, go to kathybenner.com, and all the links are there. It'll take you to the recordings, to the resource page, to connect with anybody that's been on the call. So, hope to talk to you soon and connect with me when you can, and we will see everyone next time.
Bye, Tammy. I
Thank
hope you not being in Ohio.
you. Bye. I miss you guys too, but it's way warmer here.
I know.
I know, I know. Good to see everyone, though.
I
See
know.
everybody soon.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
See you tomorrow night.
Okay, see ya. Bye.